Welcome to the Divided Kingdom. This is Lou Caverly, Elizabeth Cubitt Caverly, and I, a watchman, sounding the trumpet that judgment has begun on America, as God slowly but surely removes his hand of protection from an increasingly violent and morally depraved country. This is not the country of our youth. We must pay close attention to the words of Paul Twining, Caroline County, Maryland coordinator for the National Day of Prayer, America's moment of truth. In just a few weeks in the United States, the United States will go to the polls to elect a president. Some say this is the most critical election in American history, and the stakes could not be higher. I suggest the national dilemma we are in is so much more critical than politics, and it has to do with the soul of America. Almighty God birthed this nation 244 years ago. His holy word, the Bible, was, in our infancy, the guiding force in every facet of our national life. It saturated every subject in our educational system. The New England Primer was the first reading textbook designed for the American colonies, and it became the most successful educational textbook published in the 17th century. Every page contained a biblical wealth. Our first colleges, Harvard, Princeton, and Yale, were established to train young people for ministry. God's word had the final say in our halls of Congress, and over these nearly 2.5 centuries, we've been blessed beyond measure by God. Now, as a nation, we have turned our backs on God and have systematically removed him from our schools, our courts, our politics, our churches, and even our homes. The result of our apostasy is catastrophic. Our cities have become powder kegs of civil and social unrest, and we stand on the precipice of anarchy. This is precisely why, on September 26th, thousands of people will gather on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. to pray. Christian leaders like James Dobson, Hank Graham Lotz, Alveda King, Jonathan Kahn, and many others will be there to assist us in pleading with God to have mercy on America. In addition, from noon to 2 p.m., Franklin Graham will be leading a prayer march, beginning at the Lincoln Memorial and going for 1.8 miles to the Capitol building. People will be praying the entire way. This event is called The Return, and you can access all the necessary information by going to thereturn.org and also prayermarch2020.com. If you cannot go to Washington on September 26th, perhaps you can go to your respective houses of worship to pray, or host a prayer time in your home. Some churches have been scheduling prayer events to coincide with the noon march. America, it's time to turn back to God. And let's all of you listeners, join me and Elizabeth in praying right now that this will be a turning point in American history. Oh God, we pray to you that this prayer march and the accompanying events over this weekend will be blessed by you and will have great fruit. We pray that you will keep those participating safe. We pray, if possible, if it's your will, that the weather will be good. And we pray that it will have a permanent effect upon the people of this country. The people will be receptive to the messages and will rise to the occasion and hear what is said and internalize it. We have an election coming up. We pray that you will touch the hearts of people to vote and to vote in such a way that they will vote the way you want them to vote.
And if I may add to it, our hearts are heavy with the weight of those babies, those 60 million plus babies, the blood running in the streets. We know that we are under judgment, and we ask most of all that you will send the Holy Spirit to convict everyone, not just in those marchers' hearts, but all of us, so that we can repent. America must repent of its sins.
And we just pray, O Lord, that you will touch everyone's hearts in the way that we have just described. We pray for safety of the people participating from violence, from natural disasters, from anything that might impede this.
And from satanic attacks.
Yeah, that's
right. Because those who want to tell the truth, those who want to stop the use of fetal cell lines by the NIH in their research, by the vaccine companies, we must have God's help to unearth the unspeakable horrors of the deep state. And we will be mentioning some of those tonight. The spirit cooking, things like this, the trafficking of little children, horrible, horrific, horrific crimes against little children sexually. We know about the global pedophilia ring. We are asking your help, oh God, Lord Jesus Christ, in this little program, the Divided Kingdom. We are asking for your help to let it be a mustard seed, along with the large, large number of people who will be part of the return. We think it is the return of Jesus' influence and the honoring of Jesus, as Lou pointed out. The first New England primer with its roots in the Bible, the big colleges like Harvard, Yale, all of those were based on Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Go ahead, Lou.
We just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, we say that America is certainly a changed country. And on Friday night, TV news networks were consumed with lauding the legacy of now-deceased Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. The constant theme on every program was her almost beatification for pioneering so-called women's rights. She was one of nine women graduating from law school in a class of 500. This was at a time when women were not hired as lawyers, let alone judges. A few days later, the leftist media ridiculously claimed to know what Ginsburg's final words on earth were. Supposedly, she expressed her strong wish that the president would not select her successor till after the election. A little more credibly, later, Senator Ted Cruz was interviewed, and he had the sanest constitutional outlook that to preserve our Constitution's integrity, we needed to have nine, not eight, Supreme Court justices, and the sooner the better. Shortly afterward, Amy Coney Barrett's name kept coming up as a likely, extremely worthy Ginsburg successor.
Few of those mainstream media commentators did admit weekly that Ginsburg had been part of the leftist move of the court, taking it further into judicial activism.
And that means something really more serious than such an innocuous-sounding term as judicial activism, Lou.
Yes, it means Congress's legislative powers were usurped by this, quote, judicial activism, unquote. And it's part of the mindset of a living Constitution, the impetus to want to alter, and as Obama recently said, improve the Constitution.
One woman TV newscaster remarked on how much fun she had had at a long-ago party at the Ginsburg's Watergate residence, and that Ruth Bader Ginsburg's husband was, quote, a wonderful person.
The deep state is nothing if not deep.
Dr. Larry Spargimino's book, Living in Sodom, states, in 1998, three Supreme Court justices, Sandra Day O'Connor, Stephen Breyer, and Ruth Bader Ginsburg, were among a delegation of American judges who took a European tour. The purpose of the tour was to begin the process of internationalizing U.S. laws by integrating European judicial precedents into the U.S. court decisions. Justice O'Connor stated, quote, in the next century, we are going to want to draw from judgments from other jurisdictions. We are going to be more inclined to look at the decisions of the European Court and perhaps use them and cite them. We are going to see in the next century a considerable amount of litigation coming out of international treaties. Writer Steve Brown, CNSNews.com, July 10, 2003, wrote, quote, cultural experts who argue with claims that the Supreme Court may have opened the door to legalizing pedophilia in its Lawrence versus Texas decision on private homosexual behavior point to the growing movement within academia to destigmatize pedophilia.
Brown, in that same CNS article, states that in her book entitled Sex Bias in the U.S. Code, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg advocated lowering the age of consent to 12 years of age. Let's flesh out that whole Justice RBG biography. This is from naturalnews.com. Ginsburg died peacefully, unlike the tens of millions of babies whose violent murder she advocated. This is from Monday the 21st of September by Ethan Huff. Just 45 days before the 2020 election, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the first Jewish female justice of the Supreme Court, died from complications of metastatic pancreas cancer, triggering a wave of weeping and gnashing of teeth among leftists who worshipped her for supposedly being a champion, this is in quotes, a champion of justice. But what about justice for the tens of millions of unborn human lives that were terminated in the womb, thanks to Ginsburg's aggressive support for abortion? The pro-death, pro-LGBTQ justice is a long-beloved icon of the far left, who, according to Shannon Bream, quote, died peacefully, unquote, while surrounded by her friends and family. The same, however, cannot be said for the untold millions of innocent babies who were destroyed under Ginsburg's rule and were violently ripped from their mother's wombs in the name of, quote, women's rights, unquote. Despite supposedly being passionate about Judaism's concern for justice and, quote, shaped in the crucible of its minority status, unquote, Ginsburg was a strong proponent of baby murder, believing unborn human lives to hold no value. Among many other pro-death positions, Ginsburg voted to strike down a law that would have banned partial birth abortions in Nebraska, for instance. She also voted to strike down the Defense of Marriage Act back in 2013, after which she became the first Supreme Court justice to officiate a homosexual, quote-unquote, wedding ceremony. Murdering babies, even when they are fully developed and about to be born, is always a woman's right, in quotes, according to Ginsburg. She infamously declared that any laws or regulations that have, quote, the purpose or effect of placing a substantial obstacle in the path of a woman seeking an abortion of non-viable fetus, unquote, violate the Constitution, period. These and other far-left positions represent the bedrock of today's Democrat Party, by the way, which is why many are now speculating that leftists will become even more unhinged now that Ginsburg is dead. To learn more, check out the following episode, and if you go to the report, you can click on that. Ruth Bader Ginsburg was also a strong proponent of pedophilia and child rape. Another little-known fact about Ginsburg is that she fully supported pedophilia and child sex abuse, having written in a book she co-authored entitled Sex Bias in the U.S. Code, a report of the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. And she said there that the age of consent for sexual activity should be reduced to 12.
And I will interrupt there, Lou, to say we're talking again about the implacable deep state and how dark and deep it really is. And we are aware that I believe it was Hillary Clinton's first legal case that she ever did was defending a child molester. So we can see that God Almighty despises this. And we can hear all the little pablum news we want to, but we're here. We're on the front lines. We are a small program, but we're going to tell it as it is spiritually. And we are relying on God as our producer. And if you would like to help us stay on the air, you can send a little cash. You could send a money order. You don't need to sign a money order. We can't take checks personally, but you could write a check to WWCR, and you can send it to Lou Caverly, C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, capital B-E-T-H-L-E-H-E-M, Maryland, 21609. We do need some help. We have had changing circumstances in Lou's job being cut. It may have been a combination of ageism and economic turmoil with COVID. But we think most of all, God showed the scripture, the righteous man is taken away from the evil to come. We're not sure. Well, there may be forced vaccinations. There may be lots of things, maybe a second wave of COVID. Lou will be telling you things later in the program about the rise in Europe and some of the things that are going on. This world is very uncertain. But our eternal souls, that's what we must be concerned about. And if you haven't repented and you don't know Jesus Christ, he'll forgive any sin. That includes abortion. That includes child molestation. It includes anything, murder, anything that you've ever done. If the Holy Spirit convicts you of your sin and you realize that you are a sinner and you will be going to an eternal death in a hell that will be hideous. And we think about that story about the man who was dying, and the cardiologist kept slapping the heart paddles on him, and he kept saying, "It's hot, it's horrible, it's hot." He was seeing hell. And the result of that was the man lived, and the cardiologist, too, became a Christian. So we really do say that it's so important that you pray for the future of our country. Things may not be perfect in the Trump administration. We certainly decry Operation Warp Speed and what this might mean, but we do see a lot of good, and a lot of it is based on the idea that killing these babies is abominable. So we must choose the party, the people, the administration that values God's creation. But let's get right back. Would you just give that information again? We didn't hear this on CNN or Fox or MSNBC. What was in the book that Ruth Bader Ginsburg wrote about the age of consent, Lou?
It said the age of consent for sexual activity should be reduced to 12. Concerning laws specifically related to pedophilia and sexual abuse, Ginsburg openly suggested that the phrase, quote, "carnal knowledge of any female, not his wife, who has not attained the age of 16 years, unquote," she proposed that that be eliminated and replaced with, quote, "a person is guilty of an offense if he engages in a sexual act with another person and the other person is, in fact, less than 12 years old," unquote.
So this is an article at Natural News by Ethan Huff, and we applaud this kind of research. This is like a female Epstein, isn't it? She was really like a female Epstein.
I would have to say so, yes.
And we'll get into her husband's connections. We will just say that he was connected, as far as we have heard, with NAMBLA. Lou will be telling you again a lot about what NAMBLA is, the North American Boy Love Association. Now, let's get back to Ethan Huff.
Furthermore, Ginsburg also declared the Mann Act to be, quote-unquote, offensive. If you are unfamiliar with it, the Mann Act exists to punish people who engage in the interstate sex trafficking of women and girls. And reports Fulcrum News, quote,
"Wait a minute. I thought she was a champion of women's rights." Oh, yes, the Bible says that you can't be a double-minded man or woman.
That's exactly right. And here's a quote from Fulcrum News. "Is it any surprise disgraced former President Bill Clinton nominated and appointed Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the same Bill Clinton that has been caught numerous times on the flight logs to Jeffrey Epstein's pedophile island?" Unquote. Amazingly, Ginsburg is also an admitted racist, having stated during a 2009 interview that Roe versus Wade, the infamous case that legalized abortion in America, was necessary to address, quote, "population growth," unquote, and, quote, "particularly growth in populations that we don't want to have too many of," unquote. Fulcrum News further reports, quote, "Ginsburg's subtle racism promoting eugenics against minority communities makes it all the more baffling that Democratic and progressive voters alike would view her as heroic." That was Fulcrum News further reports.
And now we come back to these allegations, too, that her husband had close ties to NAMBLA. And we've reported, as I said, on NAMBLA before, but I think Lou, update us again at a time when Pastor Jonathan Kahn's new book, Harbinger 2, has come out, reinforcing Harbinger 1, his earlier book, that judgment from God is continuing on in America because along with the blood of the over 60 million slaughtered unborn babies, this moral depravity toward children, too, is playing a role in God's fury.
The book Living in Sodom by Larry Spagnino described it well, even years before the present, when we even have the unthinkable Dole TV commercials slyly promoting incest between grandparents and grandchildren.
I just couldn't believe that. I didn't see the commercial, but you reported in to me it was really sly and, you know, everything's done in the darkness and nobody would see. We can do this. It's just beyond disgusting. It is unthinkable. So what about Living in Sodom? Dr. Larry Spagnino of the Southwest Radio Church Ministry wrote this important book.
Yes, in Living in Sodom, Dr. Spagnino asked this question. Parents, do you know what some would like to do with your children? NAMBLR, the acronym for the North American Man-Boy Love Association, is one of the more vocal organizations pushing for the removal of age of consent laws. The organization believes that sex between adults and children, the preferred terminology is, quote, intergenerational relationships, unquote, that sex is perfectly good as long as the child consents. The removal of age of consent laws would make sexual relations between adults and consenting children legal. NAMBLR director David Thorstad says that there is a natural and wholesome attraction to boys that is quite, quote, irrepressible, unquote, something like the attraction homosexuals have for each other. On the NAMBLR website, Thorstad states, quote, pederasty, like homosexuality, has existed and exists in all societies that have ever been studied. Homoeroticism is a ubiquitous feature of human experience, as even efforts to repress it confirm. Men and youths have always been attracted to each other, and like homosexuality in general, their love is irrepressible, unquote. Pederasts want the age of consent laws removed so that they can engage in their sexual proclivities at the taxpayer's expense. Thorstad gives a word of personal testimony, quote, in my own case, a boyfriend is now 18, but when he was 16, I could not approach any government or state agencies for assistance with schooling or anything else for fear that moralists and television reporters would turn our life into a living hell. The law stipulates that any person who works in counseling, psychiatry, psychology, social work, teaching, and so on, who merely suspects that an illegal sexual relationship may be going on, must report it to the authorities. Investigation, harassment, hysterical and inaccurate publicity, arrest and imprisonment are the likely result. And going on, Dr. Spagnino describes some more of these things. NAMBLR and others of like mind view heterosexual parents, congressmen, and ministers as the real child abusers. In 1994, 82-year-old homosexual activist Harry Hay made the following comments at a press conference of the former Stonewall Inn on Sheridan Square, New York City, site of the riots that launched the modern homosexual movement in June 1969. Quote, insofar as child molestation is concerned, the most common form is the sexual coercion by which gay and lesbian children are bedeviled into heterosexual identities and behaviors. And this is practiced daily by the whole national and international hetero community. Parents, family, teachers, preachers, doctors, lawyers, and Indian chiefs. Not to overlook U.S. senators and poop by media, unquote. And Dr. Spagnino comments, did he say gay and lesbian children? How does he know? Has anyone ever had the doctor say, congratulations, Mrs. Jones, you have just given birth to an 8-pound, 2-ounce homosexual boy? He continues, this outrageous coercion of gay kids into hetero identities and behaviors against their wills is not only sexually abusive, it is spiritually devastating rape, because the child unbecomingly is being led into developing self-loathing at the same time. For this gigantic criminal trespass against not only today's children, but against all of us also, all of us, since childhood, from the queers of my age of 82 down through all the generations of queers assembled here in New York, to the gay kids still being bedeviled by sexual coercion against their wills, we, the international gay and lesbian people, here this week should unite to sue the whole guilty heterosexual community lock, stock, and barrel to within an inch of their lives, and for every nickel they've got as a beginning of compensation. And while we're at it, we should request our first-class citizenship as well. This could be the class-action suit of the century, unquote. On June 26, 1998, Thorstad spoke to a group of some 600 people in Mexico City on the history and benefits of pederasty. He stated, quote, "Pederasts believed in an inherent bisexuality of human beings and argued that the influence of the medical profession gave the gay movement the aura of a hospital. Most felt that younger and older males were naturally attracted to each other and that pederasty was a positive good for society because it helped to socialize young males and provided them with a necessary sexual outlet, thereby reducing undesirable social phenomena such as unwanted pregnancies and prostitution." Unquote. Dr. Spagimino comments, "This kind of reasoning is quite common. Pederasty is viewed as a, quote, positive good for society, unquote. The reasons given are highly suspect. Is this the only way, or even a right way, for young men to be socialized? Does Thorstad mean to imply that those males who have not engaged in pederasty are not socialized, or poorly socialized? The idea that sexual activity is a means or method of socialization shows what a beggarly view of humanity such advocates maintain." And in going on with Dr. Spagimino's text, we have a section, Homosexuality and Pederasty, Pedophilia. In the statement by Thorstad, in which he claims that the love for men and boys is quite, quote-unquote, irrepressible, it will be noted that he compares pederasty with the love that men have for each other. Quote, "Men and youths have always been attracted to each other, and like homosexuality in general, their love is irrepressible," unquote. Is there any connection between the two? Are homosexuals frequently found engaging in sex with minors? Studies show that homosexual males are sexually attracted to underage boys. In the Gay Report by homosexual researchers Carla Jay and Ellen Young, the authors report data showing that 73% of homosexuals surveyed had at some time had sex with boys 16 to 19 years of age or younger. Conversely, studies also show that male homosexual pedophiles are sexually attracted to adult males and engage in sexual relations with adult homosexuals. Homosexual activists claim that they really have the best interests of children at heart. Children, they claim, have sexual rights too. Allegedly, those of us who oppose pederasty and child pornography are repressive and guilty of stealing the sexual rights of children. According to activists, even child pornography is good for children. Activists are on a crusade to help, that's in quotes, little children by initiating them. In its July 1995 issue, the homosexual magazine Guide published an editorial and referred to pedophiles as prophets of sexual freedom. The editorialist wrote, quote, "We must listen to our prophets. Instead of fearing being labeled pedophiles, we must proudly proclaim that sex includes children's sexuality. Surrounded by pious moralists with deadening anti-sexual rules, we must be shameless, truth breakers, demonstrating our allegiance to a higher concept of love. We must do it for the children's sake." Congressman William Dannemeyer has stated, "NAMBLA is a highly visible national organization. They put out a newspaper filled with pictures of male children. They hold conventions. And they appear on network talk shows. Their announced political goal is the elimination or severe alteration of the age of consent laws. And they argue their case using the rhetoric of the civil rights movement. Little boys, they say, have as much right as adults to engage in consensual sex. And only a repressive society would prevent them from enjoying such exquisite pleasures at the earliest possible age." One international pedophile has popularized the slogan, quote, "Sex before eight, or it's too late, unquote.
And, you know, this new book by Jonathan Cahn, The Harbinger 2, as I said before, gives this case for a continuing judgment by Almighty God. And one specific reason that he quotes is, New York crossed the line and passed its gruesome law, and exactly 1 year to the day that the Harbinger, the Tower of Ground Zero, was illuminated to celebrate that act. This is a very thought-provoking book spiritually, and in my opinion, a worthy successor to Cahn's earlier, The Harbinger. And Lou, you and I are here because we are watchmen, and we are praying for a great awakening. And the time to repent is really at hand. And Lou, I think we're going to have to reorganize a little bit in our program because we are thinking about the evil, deep state. And I think right away, next we will move to, if you have the article about Hillary Clinton. You know, she got rid of all those emails. She sort of made the slate clean. But we can see that this deep state is taking care of its own, the swamp preachers. Do you have an article about Ghislaine Maxwell's nephew?
I believe that I do, yes.
Okay, let's get that next.
Here we have it. Report. Hillary gave Ghislaine Maxwell's nephew a job at the State Department. This is from the World Tribune staff, August 21st, 2020. A nephew of Ghislaine Maxwell was gifted, that's in quotes, gifted a position at the State Department by then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, and also worked for Clinton's 2008 and 2016 presidential campaigns, a report said. The celebrity tabloid OK magazine reported that Clinton provided Maxwell's nephew, Alexander Gerasi, a position within her department when he was just out of college and gave him, quote, special treatment, unquote. Since Maxwell was arrested on charges of helping Jeffrey Epstein abuse underage girls, several rumors have circulated about her ties to famous figures, including Bill and Hillary Clinton. Maxwell, 58, is in federal lockup in Brooklyn, awaiting trial for allegedly grooming and trafficking girls for Epstein. The report references Gerasi's LinkedIn profile, which lists his role at Clinton's State Department as chief of staff for the, quote, Office of the Assistant Secretary of State, Bureau of Near Eastern Affairs, unquote, from May 2011 to June 2012. Gerasi served as special assistant to the office from May 2009 to May 2011, his online profile says. Gerasi, a Yale and Princeton alum, is the son of Maxwell's sister, Isabel. Gerasi's name was also discovered in a collection of Clinton's emails that were hacked by WikiLeaks. In a November 2011 message, Assistant Secretary Jeffrey Feltman referred to his, quote, Special Assistant Alex Gerasi, unquote. Feltman mentioned Gerasi again in a January 2012 email, according to WikiLeaks. From September 2007 to June 2008, Gerasi was a policy associate for Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign. He listed a job as National Security Policy Planner for the Clinton-Cain presidential transition team in 2016. The Daily Beast reported that Epstein visited the Clinton White House multiple times in the 90s, and Maxwell attended Chelsea Clinton's wedding in 2010.
And then we have an article here by Robert Krajicek from Breitbart.com. This was a little earlier in the summer. Mike Cernovich, FBI completely ignored Epstein's victims' request for help. Natural News. The FBI completely ignored requests for help from victims of Jeffrey Epstein's sexual predation. Mike Cernovich, author, journalist, and producer of Hoax, stated on Friday's edition of SiriusXM's Breitbart News Daily with host Alex Marlowe. This was around July 31st. Cernovich discussed unsealed court documents released on Thursday. And by the way, after I'm done, Lou is going to bring up the article about A.G. Barr and what's happening to those very prominent swamp creatures like Brennan and Coney and all of those. We're going to see. We haven't heard anything about that for a while. But the deep state is very, very deep. So back to Cernovich discussing the unsealed court documents in which former President Bill Clinton was linked to Epstein. He wrote, Bill Clinton is implicated by name by one of Jeffrey Epstein's victims as having been at Pedophile Island. Cernovich said, what troubled me most was how these victims have reached out to the FBI repeatedly and were completely ignored. Cernovich added, I think that when you go through these files in detail, as I have, you're really looking at the FBI and wondering what exactly was the FBI's role in all of this stuff with Epstein. Cernovich assessed the FBI's political corruption of a similar variety as is seen in much of the news media. It's absolutely deep state, Cernovich determined. It's, in a way, heartbreaking to see the FBI ignore these women who are asking them, I need to take action. I need to do something. Do you have any files? Can we talk completely? Cernovich continued, the FBI had that picture of Prince Andrew as far back as 2011. The FBI never demanded Prince Andrew be interviewed. They covered that up. So when I read this, I see an FBI that either ignores victims of human trafficking to protect powerful Democrats, or they're complicit in it, and they're taking more active measures. I don't know how to know how you read these files and think I would go to the FBI about anything. News media broadly ignore and suppress revelations related to Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, noted Cernovich. It's stunning that post-Me Too, we're still in a Juanita Broderick era when the media will actively cover up misconduct by powerful Democrats. And I think Juanita Broderick might have been the one who claimed President Clinton bit her lip almost off. Cernovich concluded, we see it in real time now. And now, what about the big deep state figures, Lou?
Well, just how deep does the untouchable deep state tyranny go? Here are some excerpts from an article entitled Systemic Injustice, A.G. Barr Let James Comey and Other Deep State Criminals Walk Free, Friday, September 11th by Ethan Huff. For years, conservative Republicans have been patiently waiting with great anticipation for the day when James Comey, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, and other deep state traitors are finally arrested and held accountable for their high crimes and misdemeanors. But that day is never coming, it now appears. As explained in a new episode of the Thomas Paine podcast, former FBI Director James Comey, who was fired from his position for committing treason, as you may recall, is probably going to walk free until he's eventually judged by God himself, thanks to the get-out-of-jail-free card that he was recently given by Attorney General William Barr. The latest deep state traitor to receive a pardon from A.G. Barr and Connecticut U.S. Attorney John Durham, Comey will more than likely never see handcuffs, let alone an orange jumpsuit. Now, he is untouchable. It would seem, and most of the country is too distracted from the upcoming election to even take notice. As the Thomas Paine podcast revealed several weeks back, Obama and Biden both already received their pardons earlier in the summer. And this latest intelligence reveals that Comey has joined them, presumably with many others who, rather than face justice, will continue to roam free as if they did absolutely nothing wrong. As reported by True Pundit, the feds were specifically asked to ignore compelling evidence implicating both Obama and Biden in the federal government's illegal counterintelligence probe that was launched against the Trump campaign back in 2016. Barr reportedly responded by granting de facto immunity to both Obama and Biden, who are now protected against any and all prosecution stemming from Prosecutor Durham's lengthy investigation. Many were perplexed as to why Barr, who was supposedly a conservative, would allow the entire saga to basically go down the memory hole and amount to absolutely nothing, which was further explained in an earlier episode of the Thomas Paine podcast. What this all suggests is that Barr is just another deep state swamp creature.
And we'll interject here, we hope that this isn't the whole picture of A.G. Barr, because we may not have time tonight to tell you this headline, A.G. Barr drops massive truth bombs. Once violent rioters charged with sedition. Liberals freaking out over Barr's comments on lockdowns, riots, prosecutors and media. And, of course, there's more than that because there's the breaking news that the Department of Justice is declaring some of these cities like Seattle, Portland, and New York to be lawless anarchist zones. So there may be some arrests coming. We hope that this is a good part, but we must not forget how deep the deep state is and the tyranny that is being instituted by both parties, people who are sold out. Pick up the rest of that, Lou.
Yes. What this all suggests is that Barr is just another deep state swamp creature who, like his predecessor, was all talk and no action. We are nearly 4 years into Trump's first term, and not only is nobody in jail, who should be, but these same nobodies have been given the green light to go about their lives as normal, with no fear of ever facing justice. There is simply no excuse for letting treasonous scumbags like Obama and Biden, not to mention two-time failed presidential candidate Clinton, roam free, no matter the political implications. These people are a direct threat to our republic, something that Trump and his administration appear to have forgotten. Elizabeth?
And we mustn't forget again Podesta and his brother and all those allegations of the spirit cooking. The deep state is on the move with the FDA hoarding 60 million doses of donated hydroxychloroquine that should be going to sick Americans. This was Ethan Huff at Natural News September 11th. Isn't that an interesting irony right on that day?
Yeah.
So the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons is suing the FDA for withholding from the public some 60 million doses of hydroxychloroquine that were donated by drug manufacturers to treat the COVID-19 patients. And this tyranny that we're talking about that's coming all around us, a lot of it does have to do with the vaccines. Door-to-door medical tyranny. City of Houston to dispatch COVID medical experimentation teams to homes of randomly selected residents to draw blood for a government pandemic experiment. This is Mike Adams, and we hope we'll have time to tell you about all this. We also want to quickly talk about the coronavirus, the surges in Europe and some places there, and we have several cases of people who were young who are now long-term debilitated people from COVID. So please, when you hear Dr. Deborah Birx's admonitions, think about your family. Yet numbers now seem to be going down in Maryland, for which we're very thankful. But if we don't have time this week, we want to bring you those cases, two or three people. Let's get right into this door-to-door medical tyranny. And by the way, we have Ivanka Trump on The View. She says she'll take the vaccine. I guess they're using her as a poster girl for this medical tyranny here in Houston. Let's get right into this. Remember, this is Mike Adams, Natural News, September 8th. Remember when I warned the government would dispatch vaccine enforcement teams to go door-to-door, forcing people to be injected with chemically laced vaccine shots at gunpoint? At the time I first warned this was coming, many people found it difficult to believe. No longer. And Lou, you'll look for 9B next. I believe that you have that next.
All right.
This is 2020, and now the full tyranny of the medical police state is on display for the entire world to see. In fact, many local governments are thrilled to roll out their medical tyranny programs, and they do so with coordinated PR announcements, T-shirts, and a full-in media blitz with the kind of coordinated fanfare you might normally expect to see in a province of communist China. The city of Houston, Texas, has announced a new program that will, quote, randomly select Houston residents who will be surprise visited at their homes by city officials and paramedics seeking to draw blood from every person living at that address as part of some grand pandemic medical experiment, quote, for the greater good. Essentially, there will be a knock on your door, and if you open that door, you will be greeted with needle-gripping authorities, quote, authorities, who will demand that you and all your family members fill out highly intrusive forms and submit to a blood draw. Your blood will then be analyzed and added to a government database tied to all the personal information you surrendered on the form, all under the guise of an antibody study. From what we've seen so far, no city officials have yet said the program is voluntary. If we knock on your door, I strongly encourage you and your loved ones to participate in this important survey, said Houston Mayor Sylvester Turner in a press release issued by the Houston Health Department. The medical experimentation teams will all be wearing T-shirts that read, Better Together, as part of the brainwashing indoctrination training. The very slogan, Better Together, is a collectivist Marxist slogan that means individual rights and freedoms must be sacrificed for the greater good of society. Door-to-door blood draws, government databases in the CDC, as the HHD press release explains, and they go on again talking about this team coming to your door, and that the entire scheme is being coordinated with, guess who? The CDC, Rice University, and Baylor College of Medicine. It's being called an antibody testing survey, but the Houston Health Department then claims a blood draw test, quote, does not replace oral or nasal swab viral testing. Wait, what? So if you get your blood drawn for this COVID medical experiment, you still have to subject yourself to nasal swabs too? And so this is never said to be voluntary. Let's look at the full transcript, Lou.
Official, this is an exciting development. Our partners with the CDC, Baylor College of Medicine, Rice University, and this health department are going to be embarking on a trial where we are going to be in advance randomly selecting addresses across the city. We will be visiting those residences and asking people to participate in this trial. When your home should be selected, a team consisting of a Houston Health Department employee wearing a, quote, Better Together, unquote, T-shirt, along with a paramedic from the Houston Fire Department, will arrive and explain to you that you are one of the ones, your home is one of the ones that was randomly selected to participate in the program. If that should occur, what you can expect is there will be a simple questionnaire to be filled out, and we would ask that that would be for every member of the household. It's not difficult. It's pretty straightforward questions. Of course, there will be no questions related to things like Social Security number, bank accounts, none of those types of things. So if anyone should show up asking those, that is not us. We have no interest in that. We are never, ever asking those questions.
We're the good guys.
That's right. But we will ask about if you have had signs and symptoms of COVID. If you've been exposed to anyone that you know that has had COVID, things along those lines. Medical, COVID-related questions. We'll then ask if we can obtain a blood sample from each member of the household. And that's the end of that transcript. Words you never wanted to hear. You've been randomly selected to volunteer, in quotes, for an important medical experiment run by the CDC. No doubt if you answer yes to any questions about showing COVID symptoms, you'll be flagged for mandatory medical kidnapping and relocation to the kind of FEMA quarantine camps that are now rapidly expanding in Australia and New Zealand. And if your blood test shows that you have whatever antibodies they're looking for, they will come back to your home, since they know where you live, to demand you, quote-unquote, volunteer more blood for medical research. Notably, the CDC is part of this research, and the CDC claims the power to forcibly kidnap anyone at any time and relocate them to a quarantine camp against their will, completely outside of due process. In fact, the CDC can designate you to be a threat to public health and rip apart your family, confiscate your home, and imprison you in a medical quarantine camp without any due process whatsoever.
And if you think this sounds crazy, I think this was put into law way back at the time Dr. Sherry Tenpenny wrote a book about vaccinations and so forth. This was put in. So these things are there. These things can be activated under the right type of despot. Continue, Lou.
And it goes on to say this is current U.S. law under any pandemic, quote, emergency.
Yes,
unquote.
There it is.
And if they break into your home, shooting them in self-defense is your legal right in the state of Texas. You have every right to defend your body, your family, and your home against violent attackers and trespassers, even if they claim to be carrying out medical experiments on behalf of the CDC. Again, do not initiate violence, but you have every right to defend yourself against their violence. The best option in all this is to simply avoid answering the door in the first place.
And I think that gives us precautions. We don't think this is going to happen tomorrow, but it's very shocking that something of this scale and a horrific invasion of privacy has begun there in Houston. I think now we will switch over to get a little bit of the news on COVID, and it isn't a hoax. Those blockheaded patriot people who said it was a common cold and a hoax, they're so wrong. Lou, what did you hear? I think you told me that the Redskins owner and his wife are under quarantine for possibly COVID.
That's right. Dan Snyder, owner of now. We must be politically correct, mustn't we, and not call them Washington Redskins anymore.
What are they now?
They are now the Washington football team until they can decide upon a new name.
Oh, gosh. Okay, and now let's move right on.
And let me just add
more information.
And I'll give you a couple quick things about them. Dan Snyder is the owner. He and his wife came in contact with someone who did test positive for COVID-19. And for the first time in 21 years, he wasn't able to watch live as his team played.
Wow. Now, that is interesting. All right. Now, you had some, let's get right to the spikes, that information that you have, what's going on there in Europe.
Yes.
And we also had an earlier AP article about spikes in North and South Dakota, and a lot of it related to the Sturgis motorcycle group that was there, like hundreds of people. There are a lot of cases were traced to that. So you really still want to be very careful about going out and not keeping social distance. Now, what about the updates you have there in Europe and some other places?
Yes. The first group of information I had came from the Associated Press on September 21st. Here are some of the points. Pressure is growing for European governments to contain rising coronavirus numbers without resorting to spring-like lockdowns. Five countries had more than 120 confirmed cases per 100,000 inhabitants in the last 2 weeks. Spain was ranked top of that grim table. Madrid's rate of infection was 683 per 100,000. And this is nearly three times the national average for Spain. Police in Madrid began stopping people coming in and out of working-class neighborhoods that have seen a 14-day transmission rate above 1,000 per 100,000. Residents must justify their trips outside of the neighborhoods for work, study, or medical reasons. Parks are closed and shops and restaurants must limit occupancy to 50% in the affected zones. In the Czech Republic, Health Minister Adam Vojtěch resigned Monday amid a record rise in COVID infections. Last Thursday, he recorded more than 3,000 new cases, almost as many as in all of March. Poland recorded 1,002 new cases Saturday and almost 750 on Monday. In Britain, Prime Minister Boris Johnson huddled with ministers over the weekend to discuss the government's reaction. In the Paris region, authorities have opened 20 new testing centers as the number of new infections steadily increases.
What about India? Don't you have some information on India?
India is going up very fast. I don't have the exact numbers here, but I can say this. The Taj Mahal, that famous tourist attraction, reopened to visitors on Monday, even as India looks set to overtake the U.S. as the global leader in coronavirus infections. I do have this information. In India, around 100,000 new infections and over 1,000 deaths are reported daily. And let's see now, from the Hill.
Oh, and did you not tell me something about Afghanistan and Iran?
Yes, Afghanistan, Iran, and India itself were all experiencing significant spikes. And let's see now, a couple other quick things. Infections in France reached a new record high this weekend with over 13,000 new cases in 24 hours. In Munich, the number of people allowed to meet in public was restricted to five or to members of two households. Private indoor gatherings like birthday parties, weddings, or funerals were limited to 25 people. In Israel, which was earlier seen, and this is in quotes, was earlier seen as a success story, it's now imposing a three-week lockdown as it tries to halt a surge in cases. And both France and Spain now have more new cases per day than the U.S. when adjusted for population. So those are a few of the highlights in the coronavirus latest news.
And so we are looking there at the idea of this vaccination business coming. And I mentioned Ivanka Trump says that she'll take the vaccine on The View September 12th. President Donald Trump's daughter claims she will be vaccinated with a coronavirus concoction on the TV show The View after Joy Behar announced she has no intention of taking a COVID-19 vaccine before Ivanka Trump. Not only will Ms. Trump attempt to convince us to take the vaccine, but she also says we should trust the FDA. And this article was reprinted from SHTFplan.com, and it was by Max Slavo. He says, trust the FDA? Yes, she wrote that on Twitter. Everyone, including politicians on the right, who want to use the military to roll out this vaccine in a, quote, powerful way, wants you to get vaccinated. This should be a major red flag. According to RT, most of the reactions to Trump's offer have been slams against her and her father. She was offered some support by her brother, Donald Trump Jr., among others. Trump declared this week that a COVID-19 vaccine could be ready by October and will be, quote, very safe and effective. Critics have pushed back against his claim. And Lou, what did you hear about AstraZeneca? I think you heard there's a second case now of a very severe kind of a spinal nerve inflammation. Isn't that right?
Yes, among the people that have taken the trial vaccine.
Yes, exactly. Yes. So critics pushed back, citing a rushed process as a reason to be distrustful of the efficacy of any such vaccine. Quote, as far as the vaccine is concerned, I'd like to inform America, in case we don't know this, because I looked all this up for you, the mumps vaccine took 4 years, the polio vaccine took 20 years, and the smallpox vaccine took a few centuries, Behar said on Wednesday. This is all just more propaganda using the left-right paradigm illusion to convince you to suspend your critical thinking, roll up your sleeve, and take the shot. Even with all of the politicians on all sides demanding we get vaccinated, around half of the country is still skeptical. President Trump himself has offered to take the vaccine first or last, depending on what is better for his political standing. Well, you know the way it works. If I'm the first one, they'll say he's so selfish. He wanted to get the vaccine first. Then other people would say, hey, that's a very brave thing to do, he told Fox News in July. I would absolutely, if they wanted me to and thought it was right, I'd take it first or I'd take it last, he added. Sadly, this is just more evidence that they are all in on it and they all want you to get vaccinated. And we're going to speak out here and bring out the truth that we can find, because we do care about our listeners at the Divided Kingdom, and we do pray that you are preparing, because there may be some major unrest, there may be a breakdown in the food supply chain. So think about being prepared. If you can prepare for a year, it would be well to do that. So with next week, we're going to tell you about some of these cases when COVID doesn't go. And this is a woman who I believe was only in her 40s. She's still very ill. We have a lot more to tell you, so tune in to the Divided Kingdom and visit DividedKingdomRadio.com and